right, time for another DryPhysics.com video presentation.
It has no choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must give.
All right, so let's do a summation of the Franklin Hu event. I didn't understand what he was doing in his video. And so I suppose some other people could get the wrong impression. So he sort of has confused two subjects, which, you know, he should have not done, because it just wasn't a good idea. And, you know, that has created, you know, the impression that the two are connected and that the two are part of the same experiment, and they really weren't. So what he has done is taken the gravity as a source of energy to create a vehicle motion. All right. And so you get a velocity, okay? Depending on where, you can have any spot here that you decide to use to create a velocity, and that you're using friction, okay? The fact that the object, like if it was in space, it would just keep going, but because of friction, its energy will be absorbed by the ground, okay? And it will come to a halt. And as Joule famously, experimentally did, he attempted to create a mechanism that would tell you exactly how much real energy the thing had. See, Joule wanted to know whether, what kind of motor was more efficient. Gas, electric, steam, you know, all this different choices he was presented with, and he was in industry, and he wanted a good way to be able to test the performance of these different things. So he needed some way to know what is the real energy that something's producing, okay, or consuming. And so it comes to a stop, all right. And the idea is, what the fundamental argument is that as the car moves and loses all of its energy, all of its momentum, okay, I mean, frankly, its mass will stop having a velocity. So you will have consumed its velocity, and that the velocity will now be in a bunch of movement in the environment, okay? Little pieces of it will be moving. So you'll have some of it in terms of actual movement of a surface. Little pieces will fly off. There'll be little sounds created, and then there'll be what people call heat. And that's where this energy will be shared with the ground, and the unevenness between the two will essentially be destroyed, in the sense that the two will end up at the same temperature, so to speak, the same motion. Both of them will be stopped, and the ground will have a bunch of little jitters in it. So these are basically bowling balls, and the ground are bowling pins, okay? The ball is rolling over the pins, it's losing its energy to the pins, and it finally stops. And that's perfectly rational physics, frankly, okay? That's Newtonian, Galilean, Descartesian. Now, these new people seem to have some idea that energy is a concept. It doesn't mean anything, okay? It doesn't really have anything to do with this MV stuff. It's some other thing, you know, some abstraction that has some other dimensions to it. I don't even know how they could think that energy has something other to do with masses moving, even heat. It's just about little pieces moving. All right, anyway, so that's the experiment. Now, I had no idea that was what he was talking about, frankly, when I first watched the video. So, because he started talking about how this relationship, this 3:1, you know, it's like pi, right? Isn't 3:1 pretty close to just saying pi, right? 3.14, you could say. So it's basically this pi relationship, okay, that exists. And every time you do this pi thing, you do this 1:3 thing, you double this thing's velocity, and you double how long it takes to fall in gravity. So every one of these increments, okay, this 1:3 thing, it really equals 2. Okay, it's only two elements of time, and it'll only get you two elements of velocity. Two TVs. Okay, that's all. So it's four, but it's really just two. All right. Then you're gonna understand that. I mean, yes, it's going faster. The faster it's going through the gravity, through the rain, the less rain hits it per foot, right? So the faster you run in rain, the less rain it's going to hit you per foot that you're moving. In this, if you're stationary, a lot of rain's going to keep hitting you. All right, anyway. So that was the experiment. And his results came out to be completely consistent with momentum being all there is, MV, in the sense that if he got the car, so he didn't, all of this doesn't matter, because all he measured was how fast does the car go from this starting point, leaving the ramp, to its end point. So he measures that distance, okay, and all he does is establish what was its velocity when it did this distance. And the results were what momentum would predict, which is a linear relationship, okay, that where, frankly, if you double the velocity, two velocities, then you double the distance, okay, that's all you're going to get. And the kinetic energy theory, as pointed out, does this unsustainable, crazy, shit for brain, nonsense line, okay, where smart people would say, infinite well, you know, smart people would say, oh, that sounds like that gravity stuff, you know, where you can have an infinite amount of pressure created. You know, that isn't, I don't know, I don't like infinities, frankly, in my physics. Kind of makes a mess of things. But, so anyway, this is what everybody thinks is reasonable, okay, is that energy does some sort of this thing. The V line, because it's squared, means you somehow square velocity, which I don't know exactly, you know, velocity is this, okay, it's something moving point A to point B. Where did these other dimensions come from, point C and D? I mean, how does the velocity get squared or cubed? You know, how does that make any sense? It's not the velocity isn't a distance. It's not a, you know, it's none of that stuff. How do you square velocity? Anyway, so this confirms that, well, if there's more energy, right, it's supposed to have this energy at this speed, it's supposed to have this energy at this speed, it's supposed to have this energy. If it does have that energy, why didn't it show it? Why didn't it show it by, you know, slowing down faster or slower, you know, doing this 4-to-1 relationship? So he got twice the distance, he didn't get four times the distance. So this is pretty much the same as doing the fuel argument, where they argue that it takes four times more gasoline to get up to 60 miles an hour than it does to go to 30 miles an hour. Now, they've never done that experiment. And frankly, they, you know, there's really very few examples of anything. I mean, I guess you have to say there's no examples of them even doing this simple experiment. Now, I've primarily talked about using two different masses to create this same thing, because I've talked about levers and the simple fact that you can, you know, put a one mass and a two mass at these different low, you know, this is twice the distance, one unit of distance, and that when you do this experiment, okay, these two things balance, okay, they weigh the same, all right. What's on this side is the same as what's on this side, even though the masses are completely different, because this will move twice the distance that this moves in the same amount of time. Kind of proving momentum's really important. All right, so that's the context. So in fact, this experiment is a lot more valuable than I thought. Now, the fact that he doesn't show the experiment, and he does some experiment to, you know, he takes it on a treadmill to kind of demonstrate that it really doesn't matter how fast I move the car, it the friction it creates, the contact with the surface is the same. Now, the treadmill isn't the same as the Veritasium, you know, wind video kind of demonstrates. Treadmills aren't the same thing as actually moving a car across a surface. But anyway, it is some effort to demonstrate that it's not going to be substantially different amounts of friction. Now, I would argue that there is a difference. How substantial it is, who knows? But weight is even more important. So in my experiments, obviously when you're rolling two objects that have different masses, Clearly, you're going to have a difference because the heavier object will have more contact with the surface and therefore get rid of its energy much quicker than something that has mediocre content. Less contact, less capacity to give the ground your energy, or less, if you want to look at it another way, less ability for the ground to take your energy. But that's where the energy goes, right? I mean, these people think energy is some sort of bizarre concept. They don't think it's a real thing that's actually transferred. They don't think it's like, I don't know, do they think electricity is just a concept too? The conversation's almost getting so bizarre because I really didn't think these people were believing in aliens and actually flat earthers. I mean, I didn't think they bought into this woo that energy isn't a real thing. You know, it isn't a real idea of a mass moving. So I'll reiterate. So Franklin does say that because, you know, his experiment shows that you don't need to go four times as high to get twice the velocity. Now, you know, there's simple arguments why his experiment is a really bad test for that, because, yeah, you can draw it right over here. He has a ramp and then a transition to a flat surface, and this area here is going to be really tough, okay? And the slower the vehicle goes, the tougher it's going to be, probably. So what he's measuring is how fast something went at this height, and it's how fast something went at this height. And the fact is the slower thing lost a lot more energy on these intersections. But you can sort of understand that if, you know, a fast thing hits a bump or a slow thing hits a bump, the slow thing actually has to go up the bump and then back down, where the fast thing hits the bump and just kind of flies over it. Right, so it's not the same effect. So you get a different effect depending on, yeah, so sorry about that. You get a different effect depending on how fast you're going. You'll lose or gain, or lose more or less energy to a surface. So that's probably the explanation, because it's a pretty well-tested Galilean concept. I mean, you could talk about Huygens, even the evil Leibniz, Newton, Descartes. All these characters did extensive experiments with pendulums. And, you know, that shows the same relationship. The period of the pendulum and all that stuff is really, you know, it has all of this 1-3 thing built into it. Okay, 1-pi relationship. And the 1-pi relationship just kind of has to, again, back to the inverse square law. It just kind of has to do with this geometry of circumferences and their relationship, okay, that the one amount of area versus the 3 area, or the 1 circumference versus the 3 circumference. You can just keep doing those kind of relationships and understand why pi is 3.1 is because that's the mark that tells you when, what the implications are of spreading in a dimension, and especially spreading in 2 dimensions. And it ends up being this 4-1 relationship. This ends up being a 1, this ends up being a 4. You know, that kind of crap. In terms of area. All right, anyway. That's probably enough So he didn't show the actual experiment collecting the data. And we all know that, yeah, this is a little tricky. The frame rate thing, you know, how blurry it is. And, you can't trust people to tell you what the frame rates are and whether there's variable frames mixed in with your constant frame rate. The cameras, all kinds of stuff can be kind of, you can finagle. And so it's a little dangerous to just say, trust me. And then we didn't see how he measured the length and all that kind of crap. But, the point is he's pretty certain he's gotten pretty reliable results, and there's no evidence, okay, of anything more than what momentum would predict, that twice the velocity gets you twice the distance. You don't go 4 times the distance. All right, so understand that the kinetic energy theory predicts 4 times the distance, and he didn't get anywhere close to 4 times the distance. So it was this line all the way, no sign of this line at all. All right, so it is a good piece of evidence. The Mythbusters, good piece of evidence. So the evidence is out there. The fact that you can, there's good reason to suspect shenanigans in the Lewin experiment. And clearly there's good reason to suspect shenanigans in all of the Brozo experiments. But we do have his pool ball experiment, let's remember, where the half mass, okay, twice as far on the lever, did in fact leave with just about a 2-to-1 relationship. Twice the velocity here for one velocity over here. Proving momentum, proving pretty dramatically, okay, that no sign of the kinetic energy theory being correct. All right. So that's the circumstance. So I will take Franklin's video as a victory for my side. Not a total, not decisive, none of that, because it is compromised by the fact that he's, you know, he talked in the video almost as if his confidence that 1/2 mv² is wrong was almost as strong as his confidence that Galileo misidentified how gravity works. And I would argue that I think he has zero chance of demonstrating Galilean gravity charting to be incorrect. And he has, yes, a 99.99% chance of being quite successful if he continues to argue that kinetic energy theory, the work energy theorem, is just a steaming pile of made-up crap. And that's all it is. They invented the work formula based on their wrong understanding of how gravity works. It's not about distance, it's about time. How much time are you in gravity free falling? That'll decide how fast you're going and how much energy you've collected. All right, combined with your mass, of course. You have to collect the energy in a bucket, and the bucket is your mass. All right, so then we'll go to some comments. And, I don't know what to say. So there hasn't been any, so they are not arguing the experiment. You know, they're not countering it with some other video. So let's understand, they can't produce a single piece of video evidence of collecting this 4 times more energy thing. So of all the space shuttle experiments, all the experiments done in, you know, the history of mankind, they don't have a recorded piece of evidence showing us this, you know, this insanely stupid line, showing us collecting the 2,000 joules the bullet has versus the 2 joules the gun has, okay, the recoil of the gun. They've showed us nothing showing us that it's actually more, 4 times more heat created, that it thermodynamically changes the universe 1,000 times more in the case of the bullet. See, the further you go out on these lines, the more insane this gets. And it's an infinite line. That is, if I can make the mass small enough and do a momentum conversion, create a long enough lever, I can theoretically create an insane, you know, size of the Earth kind of energy. And it's all just created. None of it's real. Because the other thing on the lever has to have exactly the same amount of energy the thing on the other side of the lever has. You can't just keep making energy. There is no, again, the bullet and the gun are as good example as you're going to get, because it's just, yes, it seems like, but it isn't true. The two balance on the lever. The force of the bullet is the same as the force of the recoil of the gun. The gun is 1,000 atoms, okay, moving 10 miles an hour, and the bullet is 1 atom moving 10,000, or whatever the right number is. It's the same amount of money. It's just the difference is one guy's got, you know, $1,001 bills, and the other guy's got $1,000 bill. Same money. Nobody will just rationally argue why that's not true, and there's all kinds of evidence showing that no, it has real money. It does real work. I'll show you a piece of evidence where, you know, we you know, we made, this is what their theory suggests is actually possible, that I can take a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, and I can make 2 10-ton trains going 5 miles an hour. That's their argument. It's that, what are you talking about? How can that be possible? You can make 2 10-ton trains going 5 miles an hour out of a 5-ton train going 5 miles an hour. That makes sense to them? Come on. So, you know, they're basically saying that if I had a 10-ton train and a 5-ton train, you know, I don't have enough pens, you know, and they had a tug of war, that the 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour would decisively win. Decisive. Come on. Again, their argument is you could do an experiment where if something has 100 quantities of energy, motion, momentum, and they then can give momentum to a bunch of things, like the atmosphere can make noises, and then sparks and metal can fly off, little flecks of metal can fly off, things can bend and twist, all kinds of weird shit, some heat can be created all over the place, and then it comes out of the experiment with the same momentum. So it goes in with a momentum, makes more momentum, and then leaves with the same momentum. Now, reasonable people know that's just free energy. That's as dumb as flat earth science. I mean, that's just crazy stupid. And yet, I have to sit there and explain that it's crazy stupid to you? You know, you have no evidence you can provide. Your theory predicts something that's just plain silly, okay, that I can just step on a lever and make free energy. And, you know, and I have to sit there and we have to make these arguments. All right. So I think that's, yeah, that covers it. So they've started insulting Franklin, which is, duh, like that, you know, because that's all they got. and, you know, whatever. So we'll just see where it goes. I mean, there's, okay, so we've gotten one reasonable person to actually look at the experimental evidence, which, you know, is pretty much non-existent, and even do his own experiments and find that, yes, they have a very unconvincing argument. They never proved this theory. They never well established its truth. Now, again, the fact that he doesn't think they well established the gravitational theory does give him that his credibility takes a hit for that. But we'll see how that plays out. He might let go of that one. All right. So I'll pause and read a couple more new comments that are just so vacuous and so empty of any relevant statements. I mean, it's just, they say nothing. They counter none of these arguments. None of them. Alright, should be back. So, Mindless Marbles made a comment that's just totally off the subject, in the sense he's just trying to verify Franklin's problem with the Galilean 1-3 relationship. The, you know, 4 times the height, twice the velocity. More importantly, twice the time. Okay. And so he concludes with, I know the ball drop experiment was not the main focus of your video. Well, yeah, the main focus was clearly what was in the title, which is he's saying that, yes, the kinetic energy theorem is nonsense. But it is an important detail that needs to be nailed down. Well, it's really not. And so it's a completely separate subject, frankly. And, you know, yeah, the two of them shouldn't have been mixed. That's clearly, I would agree with that statement. All right, so Pyrrho, who can't even provide us the meager, you know, the meager indulgence of using decent punctuation. Anyway, energy is not momentum, so he's making a statement. Okay, fine. What is momentum then? Benergy? Genergy? Smenergy? What the fuck is momentum if it's not clearly a mass moving a velocity through space, which to me sounds just like energy. But anyway, energy is the change in momentum. So does that make any sense at all? Your momentum somehow changes, and that's energy. Now, as I just pointed out, their theory predicts, okay, that I can have a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, 100 momentum, let's just say, it's 50. And then I can have a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour come out of the experiment. And they have exactly the same momentum. So, again, how is the change in momentum have anything to do with all the energy you say was created when I change the weight of the train? Now, this experiment has been done hundreds of times. You can, find videos of this all over the place where they do the simple experiment. They just let the 5-ton going 10 miles an hour go by. They drop another 5 tons on it, and it does, in fact, go a little less than half the speed. So you lose a little tiny bit of energy because of a little added friction. But other than that, that's it. Tiny, tiny, tiny change in the momentum. A little tiny reduction in the momentum, right? And that's it. And their theory is, because the kinetic energy dramatically dropped, we lost half the kinetic energy, disappeared. They say earthquakes happened, floods, all kinds of this dramatic energy flew out of this experiment. Right now, none of that's evident. Okay, they don't show any of that ever happening. And clearly, if any of that did happen, it would have to come out of the momentum. You couldn't have almost exactly the same amount of momentum coming out that went in if you did all that stuff. So it's so obviously illogical. It's so obviously can't be right. How you're diagramming this, how you're putting these dots together doesn't make any sense at all. And this, after 2 years of these arguments, this idiot says something this vacuous and mushy and useless. Amazing. Amazing, the shit talk. Okay, if you do the integral over mv, where v is a variable. Yeah, that's right. That's the one that's changing in all these experiments. You can't, we're not changing masses except in the train example. But in most cases, the experiment isn't changing the mass, it's just changing the velocity. Since it's being changed, you get mv squared. Why do you do that? Why? Why? What sense does that make? You have a variable and you change the variable, therefore you have to square it. Why would I do that? Okay. Units, and the fraction is not, or not depends on what? And the fraction, or not depends on how the amount of acceleration varies over time. So again, it's just more alluding to some magical acceleration function that somehow forces velocities to be squared. So again, this is as simple as somebody saying, look, gravity makes something fall at a rate. It falls at a rate. And it's 9.8 meters per second of extra velocity. Now we know it falls where it looks like it gets faster and faster and faster, because it does get faster and faster and faster. But for each increment of time, it's only getting 9.8. So even though it's going faster and faster and faster, it's only getting added 9.8 each second. That's all. No more than that. Okay, even though its velocity, is increasing, the amount of energy it takes to do that increase, because you're compounding it, you're adding 9.8 to 9.8 to 9.8 to 9.8. So that's why the velocity is increasing. But you're getting a tiny amount per time, per distance, once it starts really going fast. But anyway, the fact that it happens every second, I can put 9.8 in, and then I can stop. I could put 9.8 in, and then go another second, put 9.8 in, and then go another second, put 9.8 in. Now, the obvious thing to do would be 9.8 times 3. No, they say it's 9.8 squared. Why would I square 9.8? Or why would I square the 3? No, it's 9.8 times 3 seconds worth of gravity. So there's no reason to square it, because it could happen every second for a year. Or it could happen every second for just 1 second. Why would I just say velocity squared? Yeah, silly. I can't even make a counter argument. It's so silly. It is such a UFO theory. It's intangible. It's a God theory. Because it's saying something that's just, well, yeah, you can make up any crap you want to make, but how does this relate to reality? You don't square something merely because you just have to say it happens every second. Why would I do that? I mean, a clock ticks every second. I mean, does that mean it's second squared? No. There's a certain number of seconds. 15 seconds has 15 seconds in it. I multiply the second times 15. I don't square anything. Okay. But whatever. So that's a great answer. They cannot be the same because energy is a change in momentum. So you put change in capital letters when clearly your theory predicts that I don't have to change the momentum and I can do lots and lots of work. I create lots and lots of heat and movement and change in the environment, and I don't use any change in the momentum. So again, just a lie. I mean, it's just crazy talk, silly nonsense, not connected to the subject at all, or the conversation or the context. Just gibberish. Just like velocity is not the same as location. Well, who the fuck thinks it's the same as location when your location is obviously changing constantly? It's a change in location. That's really not what it is, okay? I mean, velocity is not just a change in location. It's a speed creating the change in location. So, I mean, it's just baby talk. It's just so bad. So this is the best he can do in defending the kinetic energy theory. This is all they got, is little paragraphs of tripe and crap. He can't link to any evidence, okay? And so this is all he can do. Is this shit? All right. And then the nutball, John Walker, chimes in completely. I mean, you can't get more. I mean, it's just so fucking nonsensical rubbish. Kinetic energy, EC, 1/2 mv², doesn't need any change. So what does that even mean? I mean, he's arguing against what Pirro said. Doesn't need any change. What does it need then? What do I make it out of? I'm squaring the velocity for absolutely no good reason. I'm saying something has a squared velocity function. Somehow it's not about how fast, you know, it's going and how much mass it has. Somehow, okay, if I can convert the mass, lower the mass and increase the velocity, I automatically increase the energy. So again, he's arguing that the lever makes free energy. Because I think even Pirro would understand that the lever is a momentum converter. You're just converting one form of MV into another form of MV, but you have the same total MV. It's a momentum converter. You can't make free energy, so it can't possibly be true that all I have to do is put lighter things on the lever and I'm making free energy. All right. An object at rest will stay at rest. So it's Newton's first law state. So again, these are the same people who think Newton's first law, it means anything when they take the third law and completely wipe it out by arguing that somehow the bullet has 2,000 joules of energy, but the gun recoil only has 2. Well, that's clearly not what Newton believed. That's clearly not Newton's impression of how the universe works. That's clearly not why Newton created the third law, okay? And he wrote it as a law, like this is how the universe works, okay? You're not going to get away with this. I can make, you know, 2,000 this way, and I can make 2 that way. And that's going to happen in the real universe. Now, Newton wasn't right about the third law, frankly, because it really just has to do with most things are explosions. And so the energy goes in all directions. So it obviously goes left and right. It goes up and down. It goes forward and back. Yes, but it goes all directions. And the rest of energy transfers just have to do with one object giving its energy to another object. When I give away my money to someone else, then they have money. And I have lost money. There was no opposite reaction. There was just the simple truth that if I have it and I give it to them, I don't have it anymore. There's no, I don't need somebody to show up and take the money away from me because I already gave it away. I mean, it's that obvious. So that would be the yin to the yang. For somebody to have yang, I have to give away, you know, and become yin. You know, that kind of thing. All right. Let's see. I don't really think there's anything in this comment section that's even worth even going anywhere near. But there was the concept thing in here. No, it's Brozo's bullshit. Whoa, Jesus. Let's see. See, right in here somewhere, it's just, you know, this concept talk. You know, they all say it. They all. Energy is a concept. There it is. Goofy did the mind trick on Franklin. Nobody can prove energy. I mean, what does this even mean? What do you mean nobody can prove energy? So what is that? That's a God theory then. Is that what they're saying? I mean, they really are just religious kooks. Energy is a concept? So you people really do. You really have this total disconnect between understanding the essentialness of the mass and the movement. And that's not the essential function of energy. The essential ingredient. And again, I just don't know why you think this squared thing could mean anything. It has no place. Again, there was never any evidence for it produced, and it just some little chicanery with clay experiments, little mind tricks there. You know, little kind of a fraud. You know, it looks like three card Monty. You know, it's a trick. Okay, use the clay a certain way, and you can give the illusion. All right, that you have this extra energy. But it's an illusion. Okay, it's created by a little, because you're using little round surfaces. All right, it is used to calculate between one type of energy and another. I know. So there's no types of energy, there's just masses moving. So inside the atom, it's just masses moving. Okay, the atoms themselves are just masses moving. Compounds, it's just a compound moving. Person moving, it's mass moving. That's energy. The amount of energy in a gallon of gasoline can be found by comparing it to with another type of energy. Right, yes, we all agree that you have to make comparisons. That's why there's things called units. Okay, so everything has to be monetized into different things. I can tell you how much a dollar's worth by telling you how much wheat it buys, or how much corn it buys, or how many cell phones it buys. Stephen did a veal with a spring and two balls launched horizontally. Great, this is the cue ball. All right, the half mass ball traveled two times faster in the same, thus two times faster. So the kinetic energies are whatever this calculation is. Therefore, the kinetic energy is conserved. What a joke. No, it's exactly the opposite. How could you dare even say this? I mean, how could he possibly say this lie? Okay, that you conserve kinetic energy. No, you conserve the momentum. The half mass went twice as fast, twice as far. The one mass, just the one unit of energy, went one unit of distance and one unit of velocity. Your theory says exactly the opposite. The other one should have gone four times. I mean, how does he get away with this? Amazing. Well, he's a lunatic. I shouldn't even... Why am I reading the comments of a lunatic? He thinks there is free energy. He's one of those nuts. All right, so I won't... The rest of it, I think I read most of it, and the reply comments are just so fucking stupid. So we'll just do the Brozo one here at the top, just because it's just shows... He's so fucking distracted by his little fairy life. You know, it's just so bad. So Farley, who said nothing in his previous comment, comments again for no good reason. This is either a really good troll video or a really bad physics video. And it's bad physics, why? Because he's saying, here's an observation, okay? I can't find anything on the internet that shows you collecting this, you know, V-squared crap. So I did some experiments, these are my results. So that's physics trolling, or that's, bullshit. Nobody should be doing anything like that. You know, about the truth. Testing anything. Don't test our religion. That's all he's saying, loud and clear. Don't test our religion. You know, just believe. We believe. You should believe. Yeah. It's grotesque. Okay. the more I think it's one, the more it seems like the other. So it's just such trolly crap. And you people applaud. You little weasel-brained creepoids, you puros and mindless marbles and brozos. You can't just say, gee, you know, that's not useful, that argument. Because any asshole can say shit like that to anybody else on Earth and just doesn't mean anything. Because you didn't argue anything. You just insulted her. That's all you did. You just threw insults and provided zero content. All right. And Brozo responds to that crap. Okay. Well put. This is like the first time I saw a Spinal Tap. So you're having a little reaction because somebody did a video and the results weren't what you want them to be. And this is, again, your counter argument is just some crap about your little problem dealing with the truth. You know, so was the, when you first saw the Mythbusters video, was it like watching Spinal Tap 2? So he always has these references to shit. Okay, I mean, it wasn't even a watchable, Spinal Tap wasn't even watchable. I mean, it's like some kind of urban legend or something. It's not even a watchable pile of shit. I mean, it's just amazing. So, and then he talks about some guy faking his Nobel Prize. What does this have to do with anything? And then he starts talking about some other British TV show. It's just amazing. Okay, and then finally he says here, was Gary just acting when he said he was going to have us all sued for not believing his claims? Well, that's just another one of your lies, okay? So I'll just put that in the record as another one of your preposterous lies. I'm going to sue you for being a slandering liar, okay? I'm not going to sue you because you don't believe in my physics. I'm going to sue you because you made all kinds of claims that were outright fucking lies about my life, about how I live, about what I've done, about what I've said. You're a despicable, disgusting, fucking trolling liar. I have to spend time wasting my time defending myself against your fucking lies. That's a suable offense, you fucking little weasel. Oh, an amazing asshole. All right, and forcing him to hold his breath until he was no more, whatever that means. We forced him into a predicament by simply not agreeing with his BS. That's a lie. I mean, what predicament am I in? Exactly. Besides the fact that you lunatics will steal my identity, abuse my family members, do all kinds of things to weasel into my personal life and invade my privacy to try to extort me out of expressing my fucking opinions. I mean, you're such a fucking piece of shit. You sit there and use these disgusting tactics and then talk like you have some kind of integrity as an arguer, or that you did anything to defeat me with anything real? I mean, all you have done is try to extort me. You haven't tried to argue or persuade. You haven't done anything honorable in your whole fucking weaselly thief life. Every one of your goddamn comrades, or whatever you call them, your buddies, apparently is a piece of the scum of the earth. You gravitate to creeps and fucking parasites, and then you sit there and preach to anybody else? Fuck you. Well, anyway, enough of that. And then he spends the rest of the goddamn comment talking about some goddamn TV show again. I mean, this would have been generally hilarious on TV, but it was reality 2 years ago when Gary first heard of kinetic energy and realized a woman. So this is another lie, right? I didn't even know about the woman. I argued Leibniz long before I even heard of Madame Chartelet. So again, it's a lie. You just keep lying. Constant lies, and they're slanderous lies, implying that this has some sort of thing where I'm doing some chauvinism thing. No, I'm doing what a fucking real feminist does, which is treat women just like men, okay? I'm treating them as physicists, as scientists, as people who argue something. So you show me where I've mistreated her any more than I've mistreated Leibniz. How did I treat Madame Chartelet more harshly than I've treated Leibniz, the originator of this pile of fucking goddamn steaming shit? You know, you can't do any of that. And this is a lie. You fucking liar. Okay? I'm not a chauvinist. I don't have anything against women. It's a fucking lie. All right. had been involved in it, and a woman was even teaching it, okay, to him. What is this? So she didn't originate it. She didn't do any of this crap. She dug up a flat earth theory and got dupes like you to fall for it. And that's the extent of it, okay? She didn't originate the clay experiment. She didn't originate any of the arguments. And the fact is, I said the other day, Descartes, that was Voltaire, okay? Voltaire states pretty much that she let it go before she died. So before she died, she had become a non-Leibnizian, okay? So if that happens to be the truth, then what are you going to say, retard? Man, you're such a slimy, lying sack of goddamn shit. All right. So yes, I call it silly girly physics. I call men sometimes girly men. Okay, and it's just a representation that for clearly, 99% of human history, girls have been a little too silly. Okay, yeah, they're too distracted by flowers and fluff and bullshit. Okay, and that's just a fact, blah, 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 because they're raised to be trivial. They're raised to be little prizes that men collect. They collect their little women's, okay? Their little exploitable toys. Their little toys to be exploited by men. That's what women have been, okay? And finally, a better reality has crashed through that little glass house, and now they're understood to be human beings, okay, entitled to their own actualization and entitled to their own little passions and to pursue their own interests, and they don't have to just be the property of a man. Fuck. You're the asshole who exploits the fuck out of women. You use their images in your videos merely for the superficial face or, action appeal, nothing else. So your hypocrisy is grotesque in this circumstance. Grotesque. All right. So enough of that. But that's So this is a physics conversation. All this bullshit. There's not a single fucking comment here on the actual subject of the video, which is twice the velocity, only twice the distance. Not four times the distance. No kinetic energy revealed. Okay. So, till the next time and such. It'd be nice if we get some other people in the conversation, because obviously these trolls have nothing new to say. They don't have any evidence to provide. They don't have any logic to provide. They don't have any reasoning to provide. They just do this. I'll say something outrageously slanderous and force him to defend himself against my crap. And that's all they'll do. It's just, this planet is not, with more people you interact with, holy shit. I had no idea so many of you were retards. Really disgustingly dishonest retards. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been the draftphysics.com video presentation. Debate physics also, but you can see the form of the debate. These cowards will not draw anything. They will not explain anything. They will not show anything. They will not link to anything. They just talk shit.